In the ongoing and yes, still continuing contest between spring fever and ice, I'm asking some people who have lived in Dawson for a while how to get through spring fever. I'm sitting with Gabby Skaga in my living room. Gabby moved here from Kingston, Ontario 12 years ago. She meant to stay for 1 year. Things changed. Gabby works as a tour guide for Parks Canada in the summer, and in the winter she leads the outdoor life. So you've lived over in West Dawson for 6 years.
Well, this is my sixth winter, so I guess 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sixth breakup?
Yeah.
Spring breakup?
Yeah, spring
Not
and fall.
Not breaking up romantically?
No.
Now, if you live in West Dawson, you have to make that decision of which side of the river you're going to live on during the 3 to 4 week period when no vessels can cross the river.
That's exactly what I tell my tourists about it, too. It's like you have to decide what side you're going to be on and have to be prepared for it.
And how do you make that decision? What are the factors for you?
For me, it's my mom.
Okay.
Because I used to spend breakups and freeze-ups over there because I wasn't working. I didn't have commitments that way.
Right.
I never had any decision to make until my mom came here. And so now it's because of her that I stay in town because she needs care. I'm her kind of caregiver.
Right, okay. And there's the whole period where you can still travel back and forth across the Yukon River where the ice road has happened and where some of the pathways have happened because it's a little more compacted? Is that what's going on?
Well, because when they build the ice road, they add water to it to make it thick enough to carry a certain amount of weight. So there's, I think, basically about 4 feet of water, 4 to 6 feet of water. Like, they just pile the water on and thicken it up. Because
right.
That allows about 23 to 30 something thousand kilograms to go on. Because the miners will be crossing at one point to
right.
get their stuff over. So trucks can cross over. So they put work into the bridge. So you know that thickness is there. Just like any trail that's been made, if you're on that trail, that'll be the last to go because it's been pacted and that's the safest part. But if you step off that, I mean, there was unfortunately a dog that went in a while ago, a few years ago, because he went off the bridge and running around and...
Because there's sort of air pockets and things, right? And
yeah,
you can't
and just,
see them.
And not the depth of freezing sometimes.
And then what's mysterious to me, I guess I was talking to Sebastian Jones about this a little bit, because he's also over on your side.
On my side.
And he was talking about how even when leads of open water appear on each side of the river, you can use your canoe to cross that little bit of 10 or 14 feet of water and then...
drag it along and... Yeah.
Cross the river.
You can still walk
canoe.
Across it too, to a point.
You can?
Oh, at the beginning you can. I mean, if it's still below your boots, you can walk across.
Oh, okay.
Right. It all depends. Like, that's the thing about going across every day. That's why people, they freak out, but we're watching and we're there every day. And so you know where the solid parts are. You know that it's just overflow and there's ice underneath. Like,
okay.
You know, when you do something every day, twice to whatever times a day, you're monitoring it. But once it starts getting really deep, then you know that, okay, there could be potentially some holes. You can see the whirlpool. If you see that, you know, then it's not a good thing.
You see a whirlpool?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means an open hole. So that means that there's it's not just water on the ice. There's actually a hole there that you could potentially...
So the water's
through.
All the way through to
yeah.
the bottom at that
yeah.
point. Wow.
Certainly over your head anyway. You know.
So for you going back and forth across during breakup, you're watching the ice every day.
And then the people who like... The people who've grown up here, who, you know, they're definitely always, I'm always asking them, even now, I'm like, so what are you doing? You know, just because I feel like it takes years. To me, I feel like it takes years to know it. I mean, even though I've done it for a few years now, I still feel like I don't know anything, you know, so I still try to be cautious and, you know.
And so what happened to you the year, was it last year that you
yeah,
fell in?
It was
so
last year.
You're going back and forth for work,
oh,
and you're going back and forth getting ready to spend a few weeks here.
Well, I had decided that on Saturday, the Saturday, whatever the date was, I decided that, okay, that's going to be my last day. Just judging the water, it was starting to, kind of the water on either side was getting a little deeper. It was still below boot level, but usually when it goes above boot level, I know that I'm done. If you stop when it's below your boot level, mm-hmm. you can't risk getting caught with the breakup.
Gotcha.
If you have the chance to still take the canoe across, you could, like, Jonathan Dowdell crossed 4 hours before it broke a few years ago. So you can push it right to the end, right? If
wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
So for me personally, I'd just rather not. And so I was crossing over Thursday night, and I noticed that the water levels were getting higher than I thought
okay.
on either side. But I thought, okay, maybe I should cross Friday. Maybe I should bring it a day ahead. I said, but maybe, and then I thought maybe I should go actually Thursday night. Like maybe I should turn around and just go and stay in town. And I thought, no, it's cold tonight. And usually if it's cold, it's not going to change too much.
Okay.
So I thought Friday morning should be fine, you know, so even though I brought it a day ahead. So when we came, I went down with my Sebastian, we went down and we got down there and the water was high.
Oh.
So overnight it had gone up and I didn't know, but the Klondike had broken.
Oh, okay.
And so all that water was starting to pour in, right? And so I was like, wow. And it was way above boot level. I saw some whirlpools and I was like, oh my God. And I have to get across. I have to, right? Because I'm my mom. So there were a couple of canoes lying there. And so I thought, well, no paddles, just a piece of wood. But and I thought, well, we could steal a canoe. But Sebastian has never really canoed.
Okay.
And there is the current, yep. Right? And I didn't really want to put him through him going across with me and then having to drag it back and canoe by himself. Yeah. I could tell he wasn't comfortable with that. And right. I didn't want to, because the water was wide enough that you could actually have a bit of trouble. So yeah. I thought, I'll check it out. And if I can make it, great. And if I can't, I'll wave my ski pole and then he will come with the canoe. And then he's just gonna have to suck it up, you know? So anyway, so then I got to the town side and I could see there's water there. And I thought, well, there are times when you can still walk on the ice, even though the water's on top of it being, you know, overflow, right? So I thought, well, maybe I can still do it. You know, even if it's up to my thighs, I could maybe still, if I, you know, go along. And anyway, so then I felt along, but, and I thought, oh, I don't really feel any more ice here. Like, I don't feel anything.
So you're feeling the ice with under the water,
yeah.
Just with
yeah,
your toes.
Just to see. Yeah, and ooh, the water geez. Was up to here already, over my boots. Okay. So then I reached down, like, my foot to sort of see, and I was like, oh. Because I couldn't see the ice bridge anymore, but it could have still been there.
Right.
Because the water is brown and dark.
It's very silty.
So, yeah, so I kind of felt with my foot and I was like, huh, I don't really feel anything there. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just feel over here on the side to see if there's anything there, you know, and then I'll make my decision. And then I guess by putting my foot there, I was a bit off balance because of that. And then the current kind of grabbed me and then I just kind of, I lost it. So then I just went in. And I went underwater. And I came back up and... I don't remember it being cold, but I know I swallowed water and I couldn't breathe. So I was choking. So I was like I couldn't breathe. And I just started swimming. I was like, swim! Because there are cliffs there and you can't get out, right? So I didn't want to stop to see just, you know, how fast the current was. I just thought, swim. But meanwhile, I'm going, and a part of me is going, oh, this is so embarrassing. Because I just kept thinking, I hope nobody hears me. Because I hate choking like that. It's just so embarrassing, right? And I did see, actually, in a corner of my eye, a couple of people over there, which turned out to be Maureen and Melina walking a dog. Anyway, so I just kept, you know, paddling and choking. And then I finally, my feet finally hit the ground. And I was able to pull up on shore.
Were they running to help you?
Well, apparently they started to run, but then they saw I was okay. So by the time I saw them, they were actually just strolling. And Sebastian way back there said, you know, he was watching me and he saw this black dot, and then it was like, black dot's gone. And he was like, uh-oh. And then he saw the black dot like moving. And then he saw the black dot back up again. So, anyway, so I got out and I'm like totally soaked. I mean, totally. I have liners in my boots. They were 20 pounds each. And so, and then I realized I had my cell phone in my pocket and everything, all soaking wet. And then, of course, Sebastian Jones happens to bike by. I'm like, hey, and I'm standing there just dripping. And he always bugs me about getting my truck stuck in the bridge, right? So I thought, well, I thought I'd one-up you and, you know, swim. Better story. And then, you know, my other neighbor, Guy, comes by.
Oh, no.
You know, and all of a sudden, there's like six people there. And I'm like, great. Everybody's out for a walk. You know, right when I'm standing here embarrassed because, you know. Anyway, and so then, yeah, like I said, I ended up laying everything out at my mom's. Well, I drove to my mom's wet, but I could change there. So I threw everything in the dryer because it was like soaking wet and changed up and everything and tried to lay out my cell phone to dry. And it actually did. I had 4 days in the car in the sun. And
it was all right.
It worked.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. But anyway, and so then, you know, 2 hours later, it was Friday night, right? So I went to Peggy's and... It was just, I walked in and everybody's like,
everybody knows.
I fell through the middle of the ice bridge, you know. There was like all kinds of stories.
Okay. So, do you have a history of getting your truck stuck?
Well, I've got it stuck a couple of times. It happens when you have to choose between the really deep ruts or the water with the unknown bottom. So, you know, every day you come down and you sit there and you go, okay. And which again wasn't like this year because all the snow was blown off this year. So, this year it was really different. But so you sit there and you go, should I take the ever bigger puddle on this side, not know what's under it? Or should I take the ruts where I could get hung up on the bottom, like, you know, get from the bottom and then get stuck? So you're like, you know, which one?
That's a hard choice.
Yeah. And so I decided that one time to take the puddle and I just kind of went in and went down and went down and went down and then I couldn't go anymore. It was too deep. So, and I'm on ice.
Oh,
and
geez.
So it was like, shit. So I have to get hauled out. And, you know, and then I'm going to work, right? So I was like, oh, fudge. Okay, I'm going to just leave my truck here and walk to work. Cause you have to go, you know. So I get to work, and I was working at the employment clinic outreach. You know, half an hour later, I get a phone call. Hey, is that your truck on the ice bridge? Like, yeah, yeah, I know that's my truck. You know, and I was waiting till lunch so my friend could haul me out. And another phone call. Hey, is that your truck? I'm like, yeah, that's my truck on the ice bridge. I had like 6 phone calls.
I didn't lose it.
I thought I saw your truck. And while I was there, you know, people drove by and they're like, oh, no. Yeah. And another time there was a huge hole that had frozen over, but it was quite deep. And I asked people. I asked people who'd lived there. And I just got a new 4x4. I never used 4x4.
Oh,
I said, can I do it? Is it, you know, is it doable? Should I not bother? And I was on my way to Whitehorse to meet Kath at a certain time. And so she was going to wait for me there, right? So I'm leaving to go to Whitehorse. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. Just go slow. Go slow. I'm like, okay, are you sure? Yeah, because I don't know what 4x4 is about. So, okay, fine. So, you know, I go down and go up and over and poof, right in. The ice that was kind of semi-frozen cracked.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I went right in. And so now I'm hung up on this ice in this hole.
Great.
Like, shit. And Sebastian, my friend, was with me. And so we had dogs because I was taking dogs with me.
Oh.
And so then he ended up, he's like, oh, I'll go get the Skidoo. And like my car was at my mom's in town. And my friend, who was on standby for me, I tried to call him and he's busy. He's on the phone, which he said he was going to wait because I wasn't sure. And so Sebastian went racing back up the hill to go get my Skidoo, to go to get my car, to go to my friend's, to tell him to come get off the phone and come back. So I'm standing there going, well, luckily it's Sunday morning and nobody's around. Well, of course, all of a sudden, 3 people come strolling down, right? Sharon and her kids are there. Then Guy comes down. All of a sudden, there's 6 people there again. Oh, we'll get you out. So they get in there and start revving and axing and there's water flying everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to kill my truck. So they managed to get it up, but not really. And anyway, they're hacking away. And then my friend finally got off the phone and came by with a winch and just hauled me out.
With the right equipment, you can handle it.
Yeah. But there you go.
Well, thank you for that. That's awesome.
Yeah.